Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
With you, it's good to see you guys too. Amen. You know, one of the things that I'm always thankful for is the open doors. You know, anywhere you go preach, you gotta have a good stand in front of brothers and sisters. I don't care how your situation might be sometimes, and you might think like, man, well, I can't go back to a place where they didn't treat me right or they didn't do anything good to me. But I can say about Amazing Grace that Pastor Fee has been good. So anyone who comes in through those doors, Pastor Fee has shown his grace, shown his love to many people, and I'm thankful for that, that he has shown mercy and grace. You know, it's amazing that, you know, every time we come before God, he does the same thing too. He shows mercy and grace to us when we don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here right now. I don't deserve to stand right now before God sometimes. You know, we're so little, you know, and before God. But again, his mercy endureth forever in our lives. So you got to be thankful that you can count your days and say, thank you, God, because I still stand right now because of your grace. Amen. Today's message, I want to go over a little bit about the word stand. Can you say with me, stand? Yeah. I stand before you right now, but I want to say that we stand is just a moment, but God is forever. And today's key scripture, it talks about in Isaiah 48. I want to start there right now. Isaiah 48, if you want to crack open your cell phone, crack open your Bible. Those who are like to have their Bible still or their phone, the new generation, we want to open up our cell phones now. You know, but right now, it's in Isaiah 48. And it says this, that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let me say it one more time. We wither away. We fade away, but God will stand always on his truth and always will stand for us. But you need to understand there's more depth to the word stand. As a generation that we go through, in the culture that we're going through right now, we have a problem with, I see Christian individuals, those who are followers of Christ, have a problem standing for the word of God. I don't know what happened, what's going on, but we see a great fallout right now with this generation of Christians. And I want to call out right now, if you're backsliding, get back to God. God shows grace and favor to you. There's no need to hold back. God can always bring you back with arms open. If you felt you backslid yesterday, God has grace for you the next day. Because every day is different. The morning comes and joy will come in the morning. There was pain last night, but I can say that there will be joy coming in the morning. Every day is different. So stand right now. And it says that in this generation, and some of the notes in the Holy Spirit was giving me this, is that we need to stand firm and to uphold the truth. But now holding the truth has become like a thorn. People are afraid to hold on to truth now. It's important to know that we stand in God's truth. So the truth has been surrendered to half-truths now. Lies and accommodates those to their truths. We have seen how the media has manipulated what the truth looks like, and the culture implies that your truth is your truth. And I don't want to break nobody's back right now, but anyone who follow Oprah might say, your truth is your truth. We got a problem with that. That's your truth of the world, but God's truth is so different. We need to follow what he has in store for us. But there's no basis or backbone to whatever the world wants to imply or say to you. This generation does not know how to stand up with the truth of God anymore on their hands, but have surrendered themselves again to this culture that we're going through. Romans 1:25 says it this way. They traded the truth about God for a lie. It's so much easy to go, oh, I love this lie. It's so good. We can go to another friend and be like, hey, spread a rumor. But it's so good and delicious to have a rumor around. But again, it's still a lie. We're making lies within our brothers and within church sometimes. We're spreading lies like fire with this tongue that also blesses but also can be a curse. But I want to say this right now that people have traded God's lie, God's truth for the lies now. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And if we go on, and I'm going to jump into a couple of things in and out. It says in verse 26, because of this, God gave them to their shameful lust. God gave them to their reprobated minds. Even their woman exchanged their natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Men, and just like women, have traded themselves, their bodies, what God constituted to be something sacred and holy, have went the unnatural way down. And we can see it, and I want to take this context with you right now. We have gone the unnatural way in this world. We traded the lies. We want the lies instead of the truth. But God is telling you right now that you need to come for Him now. You need to be on His knees. You need to be in front of Him saying, God, I need you more than ever right now. I need to understand why in this nation right now we're so far apart from God. And throughout this preaching, we're going to see some numbers, some statistics of what's happening right now with this nation. A nation that was built upon God now has decided to follow the God of the lies. We know who that is. The kingdom of this world right here is the devil right here. That's his kingdom. They traded, again, the truth about God for a lie. So what does they exchange the truth of God for a lie mean? I like to break it down for you because sometimes they say, well, brother, you're saying a Bible verse, but what do you mean by that? Well, this is what it means. So my brothers and sisters, it's sad to say that, you know, we live in a generation whose people choose a lie than to live in truth. Everything that's good is bad now, and everything that is bad now is good. Everything's switched around. Everything's upside down. An upside down world we lived in. What is the church of God going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit or are you going to stand to wait? You're going to wait and you're going to wait to see other people fall into the trap of that. In this case, they exchange God's truth for the lie. The lie is that people can live independent of the truth of God. That's what it means. They can live independent of the truth of God, a falsification of reality. First, they barter away the glory of God. Now they barter away the truth of God. Here, the truth is God's revelation of Himself in creation. We need to understand as the body of Christ that we will never surrender to the idealistic culture who want to trade the natural for the natural ways of this world. As Christians, we don't lean to the left. As Christians, we don't lean to the right. We don't lean to a political party, but we stand on the truth of God. That's where we stand. I'm not gonna be swayed that the world has the truth because it brings me back into that place where I don't want to be anymore. And this is why we always come back in repentance to God to forgive us, because I cannot do it alone. We need to understand that the body of Christ needs to be united. Isaiah 46:8 reminds me that mankind is short-lived. And the word of God is the only thing that will stand forever. So the first thing right now that I want to get to, we're talking about the grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. I want to put this point right now. It says the need to stand firm. The need to stand firm. In the book of Ephesians, puts it this way, chapter 6, 13, 14. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So when it says stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, it's like saying keep it real. Keep it real. Truth, here is your anchor. Just like a belt keeps your jeans from falling down, staying true and standing for what's right holds your life together. Jesus holds your life together. So it's like a rally cry to keep your backbone, stay genuine, and meet challenges head on. Keep that in your back pocket for the next time you're in a tough spot. And remind yourself that Jesus is still in the business of being with people who need him. All the time. God is in time and out of time. There's no time for God. He's always going to walk with you. So as Christians, we don't get weak and tough. Here we go. I'm going to be strong with you right now. We don't get weak in tough moments. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. But we put the armor of God in times of dismay and when evil surrounds us, so we may be able to stand tall and strong before the evil one. As Christians, we stand tall and firm for everyone with love and justice. There's no race, creed, or color right here. There's no such thing as that. But you know what? It becomes so unpopular nowadays to stand hold for the truth. No one wants to stand for the truth. It's unpopular now. People want to decide, you know, I want to live the lie instead of the truth. So when it does not look popular, we will be there for one another. It doesn't look popular no more. No race or creed will supersede what God has already set in stone. It will never supersede it. My third point for you right now. The strength to stand firm comes from God. It doesn't come from man. I cannot do it alone in my own strength. 2 Corinthians 1:21. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says it like this. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed you. He anointed us. He makes you stand strong. So I want to give a little picture right now. Imagine you're in the middle of a tricky situation. I want to go back to this generation who's young. I know we got an older generation, but I want to speak also to the younger generation as well. When we were going to school, there was a project that we had to turn in on time, but then you have one who always slacks, and you have to do all the work sometimes. So we're facing a dilemma that challenges your values right now. The pressure is on, opinions are flying, and it's easy to feel swayed or uncertain right now. So what's happening is here is this, that when your faith comes in acting like a compass, or a GPS guiding you through confusing territory. It helps you discern what's right, even when it's not popular or easy. This is the strength and conviction that faith provides. Now, where does God fit in? How does God fit in this right now? Well, I'll tell you this. Well, I think about the energy, the power of the GPS in the same way faith in God or connecting with higher purpose charges your moral compass. It offers an underlying sense of certainty and courage, enabling you to stand firm even when the going gets tough. It's not about being stubborn or inflexible, but about maintaining your integrity and staying true to your values in Christ. This might not always be the easiest path. It's never going to be easy. In fact, it often isn't. But it leads to a life lived with purpose, authenticity, and ultimately resilience. You're not just going along with the crowd, but making choices grounded in a deep sense of who you are and what you believe in, and we believe in is in Christ. That's what it means to stand firm in your faith. Standing firm in God may not always be the popular thing in this culture, but I can assure you that you will reap rewards that will be everlasting. Number four, say it with me, number four. Standing firm in trials, number four, standing firm. I'm very repetitive, but I wanna make this point across to you today. Because as Christians, I feel saddened that my generation has traded themselves to this world now. They're slaves to this world instead of being slaves to Jesus Christ. Book of Romans explains that. We should no longer be slaves to sin, but slaves to Jesus Christ out of love now. And how many of us are still in a dilemma, in a problem when we can't move forward? Why? Because there's certain things that are still holding you back. You probably have past sins that you're still carrying into your present. But God cannot move forward with you if you have not let go of your past. It's like saying, God, I like your blessings. I like what you're doing right now, but I cannot let go of this. I want to stand right now in this position, God, because it feels comfortable. That's what happens with Christians. We have become so comfortable to living a lie, living in sin, and still continue living the path that we used to live instead of trusting solely in God and to stand firm what it's real, what is tangible, what we can touch, what we can smell. Standing firm in trials. Number four, James 1:12. Scripture on this. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You hear that? Those who love him. We're so far apart sometimes. We say with our lips that we love God, but we don't, because we continue living a lie. We continue practicing the ways of this world. Ask yourself, or better yet to say, when you are with friends and family, ask them this question. Where do you see yourself right now in this culture? Where do you stand? Who are you? People might ask you sometimes, well, I don't know. You're asking me a question I don't have an answer to yet. Well, as Christians, we should have answers. Because when people will come to you, you need to be that light. You need to be light to those who are in darkness. That's why you need to stand firm in your faith. So when time comes, you will be ready for that. Trials are essential. If you want to write this, the Holy Spirit gave me this. Trials are essential in life for your spiritual growth. You may not always pass with flying colors, but it will always make you grow stronger in your faith. Trials are necessary. I'm not asking you to go commit a trial or do something to be in a trial. No, trials will come to you sometimes. And you're going to have to know how to be ready with the Word of God. Let's be real. So spiritual growth can often be achieved more readily by trials and adversity. That's how it's done, than by comfort and tranquility. God's not going to work with you when you're comfortable. There's nothing to show you, because you're telling God, I don't need you. I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. This is good enough for me, God. I always ask myself, church, God, I don't want to be in a comfortable state of mind. Why? Because that's what the enemy wants you, to be comfortable. Because when we're comfortable, when the seasons are good, we have no need for God. And it comes to us sometimes as Christians, we become comfortable. And I'll be the first one to say it sometimes. I get comfortable too. And then I start slacking off and I lack in the things of God, because I depend in number one, which is me, instead of depending solely in Christ. So, spiritual growth can often be achieved more readily by trials and adversity than by comfort and tranquility. Trials can teach us that faith in God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ is the source for inner strength. I find it funny when I see people practicing yoga or practicing meditation. I'm trying to find inner strength right now. You're never going to find inner strength in yourself. The truth, the source is the Spirit. The Spirit in us is the true source that strengthens you. You cannot walk alone on earth without the Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit is gone, there will be nothing anymore for humanity. They will be lost and walking without anything to hold, no backbone. Number five. Say it with me. Number five. The importance of standing firm in the faith. The importance of standing firm in the faith. We talked about four, standing firm in trials. But number five. 1 Corinthians 16:13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. There's never any time as a Christian more than ever to be strong and courageous in your faith. I cannot depend on moi anymore. I need to depend on him. we have a world that is perishing away because of lack of knowledge, lack of the truth. So that's why, as believers in Christ, you need to be that word, that walking word. It's action, the verb. You need to be that. I got some statistics for you right now. In today's society, about 64% of Americans call themselves Christians. That might sound like a lot, but did you know that 50 years ago, that number was 90%? According to a 2020 Pew Research study, that same survey said that Christians' majority in the U.S. may disappear by 2070. I don't think we're going to be here anymore, but that's just a research study. Some may saw Christians are stronger than. So what I see here is this, that I see Christians, or people are saying that COVID, you know, it's a time where people grew. I don't think it was. But in reality, it's the opposite. The decline to 73.7% by 2016 and 64% in 2022. So you can see, as believers in Christ, this nation needs to come back to the feet of God. They need to come back to the source. Now more than ever, my brothers, we must have a solid foundation. Stand firm in your faith and be strong to the end, because the crown of life is awaiting you. That's a promise of God. A crown is awaiting for you. Not just for me, for you and for those who really love God. Number six, the result of standing firm, the result of it. Philippians 1:27 to 28. Philippians 1:26-28 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way." Again, no weak Christians. No weak Christians. Standing firm. But you know what? I want to be very careful how I say that right now, because God will use our weakness to get stronger in Him. We got to remind ourselves that. Okay, I want to keep context right now of it. What I'm saying is this, that in Christ, we should be bold. In Christ, we should be strong. Why? Because we know the truth. The truth already has set us what? It has set us free indeed. So we know already how to act in faith now. That's where it comes from. But yes, in times of difficulty, times that we need God in our weakness, weakness in itself, God will embolden you and make you stronger so that you can confront whatever situation you might go through right now. Number seven, practical application right now. How to stand firm. How do we apply this? Ephesians 6:10 to 11. Ephesians 6:10 to 11. Finally, be strong. That word, I don't know how many times has come out. Be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. In the Lord and His mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's time for war. It's time for the Lion of Judah. It's time to people know that we are Christians with fire. That we're not going to stand back to hear that what they say is the truth. We have the truth. We walk in faith, and people need to understand that within that, we're going to show love to them as well. But love also, not the world says love is love. No, I have to say, no, it's not. That's the world's love. Love in Christ also corrects. And I have to tell you this too, because when love, it corrects the ways you're doing, because it'll be my fault for not telling you that you're wrong in your ways. But I can tell you, and you can tell somebody, somebody might tell you that you're judging them. No, it's not judging them. It's showing love, because the scripture says, you can do it. You can tell someone, it's not judging. I'm sorry to say this, but one day you're going to be judged in heaven. I'd rather tell you right now, out of love, that you need Christ. And in Christ, in Him, you will have freedom. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. I can't stress out enough to tell you that, you know, many times we come to a place in our lives where we grow weak and we forget. It comes to the best of us as Christians. We forget. But I'm so happy that even though I miss the mark sometimes, God's grace is always coming to usher in and take me back up from my feet. Or like Pastor Fima said, I'll make a face plant like a quesadilla and he'll bring you back up again and you become eatable again. It's surprising, but God always lifts you up. So we as Christians should always lift up our brothers when they're in trials. We should not be chastising. We should not be uttering words to bring our brothers down, but we should be lifting them up always, because we were once in that place before. That's how grace works. If Jesus talks about it, then why can't we be about it right now? We have to be sensitive to the word of God. We have to be. I cannot be up here preaching to you if I'm not practicing or relating to you right now. You know, I want to share a little bit also. Those who want to know or what I've been doing or what I have not been doing. You know, down in Tijuana, I've been ministering to a group of addicts for the past almost 2 years already. And one of the things that I love the most, that even though they fall back again and they come back to the same, because it's a cycle, it's an addictive loop. Now, God was teaching me, God, if they're praising you with their lips, why they continue doing the things that they're doing? Well, everybody, there's a walk and there's a process. And God had to teach me that these men and women also are going through afflictions. So we should never see them with eyes that are, wow, well, I'm going to abandon this person because they don't understand. No, God will never do that with me. This is why you're still here, and this is why you're still standing, because God sent someone to preach to you and say, you know what? God still loves you. God still has grace upon your life. That's the way it works. And it's amazing that these men of God, because I know there's some people in there who are still struggling, women who want to grow, but they're still in the process. Now, I want to be very specific with that process. There is a moment and a time where you have to graduate. You cannot continue in the same sin. I've heard people in Christians, I'm under construction. I get it. Yes, we are Christians under construction. But like everything else, there's a time to graduate. Why? Because then later on, you're using your sin as a crutch now. You cannot live your sin under a crutch. Oh, I'm under construction, brother. I'm still going through the process still. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But no. No, it doesn't work like that, brother. There needs to be growth. I was young, a babe, and I would drink out of my mom's tit milk. But then I grew up. Now I need meat. I need to grow. As Christians, we gotta grow. We go through the growing pains. It hurts sometimes, but it's gonna have to go through the process, because after that process, I'm gonna see the glory of God. It takes time. There's a process. Respect the process, my pastor, my past pastor Shante will say. Respect the process. There's a time for everything. There's a time to cry. There's a time for joy. But most important, it's a time to give reverence to God. There's a simple word in the Bible, very short, in the book of Psalms. I think Christians forget to do that sometimes. Selah. You read the word and you meditate on it. Most Christians like to get a quick word. Let me take it. Let me fly by right now like a drive-thru. No, you need to have a moment to meditate what God is trying to tell you. You need to take the process of that. You need to understand that with God, He's always holding you hand by hand. Don't push it. Hold on. The Lord says, hold on. The Lord says, trust me. There's a time for everything, brothers and sisters. And I know God is going to do a great thing in you. God's going to manifest himself in you. All you have to do is just be open to it and come back to the feet of God. Now, I want to say this both ways. Why? Because there's probably someone in here right now who probably backslid. There's probably someone in here who had a thought before coming over here. There's probably someone in here who was fighting in the car coming to church. Let's be real for a moment. It happens. I've done it too. I'm going to church and we have a fight and I'm like, where is this coming from? The enemy will use sometimes to throw darts at you, but it's the thing that you do at that moment. I don't care what happened. It's what you do at that moment to ask God for forgiveness and to come back again to the feet of God. That's the way it works. Come back to the feet of God. Don't bring yourself down because I'm not worthy enough. You are worthy. You are a child of God. We are daughters, men of God. You have higher purpose. The keys of the kingdom have been given to you. Jesus came back from hell and handed you the keys to heaven. So remember that God has a purpose for you. You're not what we say in Spanish. I want to say this in Spanish because it just makes more sense. I'll translate for you. It says, we are not the back, we're the head. But in Spanish, it says, we're not the cola, somos la cabeza. We are the head, not the butt, the back. I'm sorry. We are the heads. And God has given you authority. So walk in that authority upright, knowing that God is standing firm with you. Stand firm. It's a time, it's coming, brothers. I don't know when and how, what time and the hour, but the time is now. Jesus Christ is coming soon for his church. And we need to understand that we have to get on the boat just like in the ark of salvation and be ready. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. God has in store something great for you in heaven. I want everybody just to please stand. Come on, please stand. I hope this is a refreshing word for you today, as it was for me, because we're seeing some hard times. We're seeing some crazy end day times. And I want everybody in this church, in this place, to understand that we have a great and awesome God. We have power. We have authority over the enemy. And we have to step on the enemy's face and tell him that you have no control over this body. You have no control over my family. I want you to say this with me. Enemy, you have no control over my body. You have no control over my family. I want you to do this, friend. I want you to embrace someone next to you and hold their hand, those who are married, or go over your shoulders right now. And I want you to start praying right now for one another right now, because we need to be in unity right now. There's no time to hold back. It's time to get your brother and your sister and start praying in the spirit right now. We're going to do something different right now. You guys maybe haven't done this in a while, but let's pray right now and start speaking in tongues. Start praying in the spirit and let God manifest himself in you right now. Let him show you what you need to see. Ask God what you have to see. Ask God what you need to know. God's going to start doing it. So let's start praying. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we praise your name, God. We start lifting up your name. We start lifting up your name for this nation, God. Let us stand firm right now. Let us stand tall that we can walk firmly in your glory, God. It says in the book of Psalms, God, that we can go in boldly in the throne of grace. So I ask everybody here that they can understand that they can enter boldly in the grace. They can enter boldly, Father. God, continue stirring up hearts, God. Stir us up, God. There needs to be a breakthrough, Father. There needs to be a change. Changes need to be broken right now, God. There's a need, Father. We're yearning, Father, for your love. We're yearning, God, for a drastic change in our lives, God. But we know it relies in the Spirit, Father. It relies in the ever-changing and everything that we're going through right now, God, because that's how our faith is going to grow. That's how our faith is going to grow, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. We praise your name, Father. We praise your name, God. Continue praising him. Continue praising him. Yes, God. Continue praising him. Continue praising him. Continue praising him. Continue praising him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Father. We praise your name, God. You are worthy of it all, Father. Thank you, God. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy, Jesus.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.